Beniz Arafua Shalema. All right, so we'll start off with a tefillah thought that came to me today, which is that we say by Shacharis and by Mariv, there's this concept of putting Geula Samach L'Tefillah. We always start off Goal Yisrael, and then we go into Shmoneh Esrei. And the reason for that, we want the fact that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim, and that the redemption Hashem has done for us, to be the juxtaposition when we start Shmoneh Esrei. It just dawned on me today, Goal Yisrael, what that is saying, it's tapping into the fact that Hashem has redeemed us, Hashem has saved us in the past. And now, as we're about to go into our tefillah, we're kind of like tapping into that. Hashem, you've done so much for us. You've redeemed us. And now we're about to dive into you for continued success in every aspect, every element of our lives. So just like which I have today, and maybe that's we learned that from Sukkim, this concept of putting Geula next to tefillah. But maybe it's like tapping into what you have done for us. Thank you. And please continue. And now we're about to do 19 brachas, davening to Hashem for continued success in all areas of life. Well, that was the thought I had today. And as far as bitachon, a thought in bitachon, the Chazon Ish, and this is what a lot of people are very busy with. Hello, Chesky. A lot of people are very busy with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was punished 2 extra years. He had to stay in jail 2 extra years because he asked the Sar Mashkim to help him out. And Rashi brings down that he was punished because he should have relied on Hashem and should not have asked the Sar Mashkim to help him. And all the Rishayim and Achrayim are bothered that that was his ishtadlus. That's what he's supposed to do. Like if you have a connection to the president, so you go ask your connection to help you get out of jail. Why was that a problem? So what the Chazon Ish wanted to say was, the problem was that he should have known that the Sar HaMashkim was not interested in helping him and not to rely on him. And he used such a lashon like this. He explained it as doing things out of desperation, of yish. Yish means that you've given up hope. You're acting, doing it just because you don't know what else there is to do. You feel like you have to do something. So you know what? I'm going to do this. It doesn't really make sense. It's not really connected to the issue at hand, but you feel like you have to do something, so I'm going to do this. And that seemed to be how the Chazon Ish explained the problem with Yosef HaTzadik. And that's something which, to keep in our mind today, our job is to realize whatever's happening from Hashem, we have to do the appropriate hishtadlus. And the question is, maybe each one on their own level, but to think back and say, is this the appropriate thing, or is this like out of desperation? Anyway, that's a thought to chew on. All right, here we go. Back to Hilchos Pesach. I hope tonight to go through, we finished Sin and Tav Chav Tes to Tav Nun Beis, which takes us through most of the Chametz issues. Now I want to start on the Matzah issues. Now, most of us, as I said last night, we probably do not bake our own matzahs. So many of these halachas won't be relevant on a practical level. Some of them will be. But it at least will help understand what you're buying in the store, why you're paying so much money for it, and what's going on behind the scenes. Even if we're not the man behind the scene, perhaps at least we can understand what's going on. Okay, so we start Simen Tov Nun Gimel. So it discusses how the matzah should be made from 5 grains, the major 5 grains, wheat, oat, barley, spelt, rye. And it is preferable, hello, Shmuley, it is preferable to have the from wheat. Those who are wheat intolerant, they can have spelt, other things, but wheat is preferable. And therefore, most matzahs on the market are made from wheat. So we want to have from wheat. It does discuss having kinyas. The Shulchan Aruch allows kinyas, which is why the Svarim do eat kinyas. But the Ramah says our minhag is not to have kinyas, and we shouldn't. Now, what's interesting is we're familiar with this concept of Shmora Matzah. Shmora Matzah. What is Shmora Matzah? So it's fascinating for the mitzvah, for the 2 nights in America, or the 1 night in Israel, you have to have Shmora Matzah. Now, what Shmor Matzah is, it was washed from a certain period of time. And the shayla is, from what period of time does it have to be washed? And what we're going to focus on is there's two points. There's the matzah for the mitzvah, and then there's matzah that you're not eating chametz. So now here's the way this goes. When we say shmor matzah, we're referring to matzah which was washed from the time of ketzira, from the time of harvesting. And here's the way it goes. When wheat grows from the ground, it gets wet, and that's not a problem. As long as the wheat is still attached to the ground, it can get wet, and it has to get wet, because if it doesn't get wet, it's not going to grow. If it grew to a point where it's now no longer needing the ground, it's now getting whiter, it doesn't need to be on the ground anymore, it's like it's detached, and it cannot get wet anymore. So the people that are watching, making shmor matzah, they get to the fields while the grains are still growing and fresh and not drying out and still needing the ground, and then they cut them off right then. And they watch those grains from the time of cutting it until it's turned into matzah. So it's including the ketzira stage, the cutting it, the grinding stage, and the kneading stage. It's shmor matzah means it's been washed all those three stages, cutting, grinding, and the kneading. That's shmor matzah. Now, that is what you're supposed to have the night, the two nights of the Seder, the one night of the Seder, that's what you're supposed to be having. Now, if you cannot get that, you are still yotze with, we're going to call the secondary level of shmor matzah, which is it's washed from the time of grinding. You ground up the matzah, and for some reason you weren't able to wash it from the field to the grinder, but from the grinder on you washed it. That's a middle level of shmor matzah. You're yotze with that. The lowest level is where it was just washed from the kneading process and on. That's very bad. What that means is you're just buying regular flour from a store. You're buying flour and making matzahs with that regular flour. That is b'di'eved. Hello, Moshe. Yachta Moshe. We're discussing right now the process of making the matzah. So the ideal is to be washed from the harvesting. Secondary is being washed from the grinding. And b'di'eved, the worst thing, what you could be able to say is it's just not chametz. It was washed from the time of kneading. That is the lowest level. So when you go to a store, you'll have regular matzah that says kosher le Pesach. That matzah was only washed from the kneading and on. Maybe from the grinding and on, maybe. But definitely not from the harvesting and on. But if you see a box that says shmor matzah, so you know that that matzah was washed from the grinding stage and on. And for the night of the Seder, you need to have that matzah. The rest of the time, it's okay to have the other matzah. But that's what you're paying for. Because from the time of harvesting, they have to put in special bags. Shulchan Aruch goes through. It has to be put in special bags. Most of them are bags that have never been used before, that are dry, kept out of any liquid environment. And that is the process of the matzah baking. And that's why there is a high price for them. So that's what Taf Nun Gimel speaks about. Taf Nun Dalet goes through, you should be using the fine parts of the grains and not the disgusting parts, the shafts. Now that is discussing Taf Nun Dalet. Also, it should not be stolen matzah. So you should be using from the finest of the wheats, finest of the grains, and not be stolen. Okay, Taf Nun Hey discusses something very interesting. It's called Mayim Shalanu. So now you've gotten your matzah, you brought your wheat, your flour, you brought it to the matzah factory. In the matzah factory, you pour water on it. The water is kept in a separate room from the flour because they cannot be anywhere near each other, cannot touch each other. Now, but which water are we using? So Taf Nun Hey discusses that you have to be using special water. You cannot use your regular run-of-the-mill water. You need what's called Mayim Shalanu. Mayim Shalanu, the root of the word lanu, is not from us, not our water. It means water which was lun. Lun means sleeping. It means water which slept the night out of its home, meaning you drew the water, you took it out of the water source, whether it's the river or whether it's the well, you took the water out of the well, and now, Aaron, I don't see your question. You took the water out of the well, and now what happens is you wait 12 hours. You have to wait 12 hours for that water to become no longer hot. Because the issue is, when making chat, when making matzah, if the temperature is a little bit too hot, it's going to make it become chametz a lot quicker. So what we have to do is we keep the wheat out of the sun, and we have to keep the water out of the sun. So we draw the water. It has to stay in a sunless environment for 12 hours. And that is the water which is used for the matzah factory, in the matzah factory. And therefore, it's not just a simple process of taking your flour from the store and your water from your faucet and mixing them up and making a matzah. It's not that simple. They would have to wash the wheat from the time of harvest and draw the water 12 hours in advance. And then they would go ahead, and now we're at the matzah factory. Okay, that takes us through Taf Nun Hei. Taf Nun Vav starts us at the matzah factory. Okay, so we're now, when room one has the water that slept the night away from home. Room two has the flour which was ground up and been washed since harvesting. Then what happens is you knock on the window. Room one pours the water into the flour into room two. Now what happens? You have to make each dough very small, because if they're too big, we're afraid you're not going to get all the crevices kneaded out properly, and you may have parts of it that become chametz too quickly. And therefore, Taf Nun Vav discusses how to make each dough really small. And that's what they do. Each dough is measured out, the amount of flour, and they cut it into small pieces so that each one is so small and so handleable that it's not going to come to any parts of it that's not being needed. Now, that is Taf Nun Vav, to make your challah, make your dough small. Taf Nun Zayin is discussing, now that you're kneading it, what do you do with it? And it's clear that besides making it small, you have to always be busy with it. But there's a mitzvah called challah. What's challah? Challah is when you have dough, there's now a mitzvah to take off from the dough and give it to the kohen. So what we've done now is we've made small doughs, but we want to join them up together in order to do the mitzvah of challah. So what you'll see on the boxes that you buy, it'll say that the challah is taken off. But what that means is they've made a lot of small doughs. They put them together in a larger basket. And that larger basket together is the shear. And now you can take off challah from it. Okay, so they baked it small, put it together, and now what they have done is created, now that there's a shear of challah, which has to be around 2 kilo. It's around 2 kilo of flour, around 4.5 pounds of flour. Now you have the ability of taking off the challah. And that's what happens in the matzah factories. So that's why on the boxes you'll say challah is taken off, is because they join them together after the baking and they're taking off. When people make challah at home, they take the challah off from the raw dough. In the matzah factories, they won't do that because it adds more time and they're in a hurry to get into the oven. So therefore, they do not take the challah off from the dough form. They take it off from the cook, only when it was cooked. Okay, so that is Taf Nun Zayin. Taf Nun Ches discusses something which the Chassidim are makbid on, the Rebbes are makbid on, which is to make matzahs Erev Pesach. There's a special thing to be making matzahs Erev Pesach, similar to the carbon Pesach that they do in Erev Pesach. So the Chassidim very much are makbid on making matzahs Erev Pesach. Most of us don't have the time or the courage to do it because it involves a lot more halachas that you need to know. And that's not something which we do. But Taf Nun Ches does discuss how it is important If you hear the baby, just put earplugs in. Tav Nun Ches explains how it's possible to do it Erev Pesach, and if it's Nogea, you'll talk to your local Orthodox Hasidic Rebbe. Tav Nun Tes goes through the actual process in the bakery, and is going through how you cannot have a second that the dough is sitting by itself. It constantly has to be in action and motion, because we're nervous if there's any moments of it not being in process, in motion, it's going to become chametz. So besides the 18-minute rush, which is a time clock going on in the matzah factories, there also is someone walking around monitoring, making sure that the dough has never been in one place untouched. So you have a lot of fingers on your matzahs. Every second, there's a finger on your matzah. Every second. And multiple fingers by multiple people. So for those of people who are a little bit, germ-oriented, you don't want to go into a matzah factory, because there are at least 10 people with all 10 of their fingers touching every matzah as much as possible. 18 minutes is the time that it could become chametz. And therefore, Yoni, from the time that they start from the water being poured, so then it becomes chametz. Chametz is unleavened bread, Benzion, which means it rose too much. From the time that the wheat got wet is when you start the 18-minute shot clock. That's the time it takes for it to become chametz. Chametz is no longer matzah. It's risen too much. It's now leavened, and therefore it is no good. Part of the matzah factory also is you can't have heat. There's no heat in the matzah factory. You cannot have any added heat sources, because that would cause more chametz, or could cause it to become chametz even quicker. So 18 minutes is the shear. The Gemara says that's the rising shear, 18 minutes. That's the difference between chametz and matzah. So now, that was Tav Nun Tes. Tav Samach says that you cannot have a guy or a katan be involved in the matzah process. And he discusses there the concept of doing it lishma. L'shem matzah is mitzvah. If you've ever gone to a matzah factory, you'll hear this word repeated every 5 or 10 seconds by everyone. L'shem matzah is mitzvah. L'shem matzah is mitzvah means I'm making it lishma. I'm making it for the mitzvah matzah. I'm not making it for dinner. I'm not making it for sale. I'm making it for the mitzvah. We're going to sell it. Of course, we make money. Of course. But the reason that I am doing it now is lishma. And there's a machlokes. Is it enough to say it once in the beginning of the night? Right in the beginning of the night, I'm going to say, everything I do is lishma. That is, one sheet told that that's sufficient. The other sheet that says, no, you have to do it every second, you have to say it. Now, Kendi, you may want to know, what happens if you don't do lishma? So the Rosh says like this, you have to be mishtadel. That should be lishma. V'chein roi. It's mashma, it's not ma'akev, but you definitely have to try hard that it should be lishma. And the Mishnah Berurah discusses how severe it is, but any matzah that you're buying, every mashkiach will require anyone in the matzah factory to say the following words. Everything I do tonight is l'shem matzah mitzvah. Now, extra credit, they'll be repeating that many millions of times throughout the night. But they will not start anything in that factory until they say, everything I do today is l'shem matzah mitzvah. Okay, so that is what Tav Samach is talking about. It also discusses how you are not allowed to make shapes or different pictures with your matzahs, because we don't want to do anything that will take extra time. That's why all matzahs are boringly circled shapes, just because that's the quickest thing. There are no funny shapes in your matzahs. You've never seen them. It's because we're nervous that any time you try to do anything special, it's going to take too much time. And therefore, there is no shaping the matzahs. Also, you are not allowed to put spices, salt, pepper. I know there are people here that would like to have matzah tasting better. You are not allowed to add any flavoring, any spices, any seasoning to the matzahs, because we're nervous that the spices will add heat and cause it to become chametz a lot quicker. So these are things that are discussed in Tav Samach. Right, we have to make it very quick. And Tav Samach Aleph, Ches, you want to get to the oven in a minute. Tav Samach Aleph discusses the oven. Now, here's where the oven goes. In the oven, you have to make sure that the matzahs are not waiting in line right by the oven, because there's a lot of heat outside the oven. So even though we have this magic number 18, and we think that's good, 18 is in room temperature. But when it gets close to the heat, it could become chametz a lot quicker. That's why there's no adding seasoning, there's no adding spices, because it could become chametz too quick through that. Same thing in the factory, in the matzah factory, you cannot have the matzahs waiting in line by the oven. So what happens is the oven is in a different room, and you have the matzahs waiting in the other room where there is no heat, and they're only brought in when they're ready to go straight into the oven. There's no lines, because if it's waiting there by that extra heat, it could cause chametz a lot quicker. And therefore, the 18 minutes won't apply anymore. So therefore, they go straight into the oven. Now, in the oven, you have to have a super-duper Yerei Shamayim Mashkiach that's sitting there and watching, making sure that they didn't wait too long. Also, you're making sure that they're getting cooked properly. Most matzahs that you'll see, the firmer they are, the blacker they are. The reason is they want to make sure that there is no part that's left uncooked. And therefore, they'll stick in the oven, and he has to be good, but he'll make sure that nothing was left uncooked. And that's why they will become black. Now, that's why it's in the oven. And that Tav Samach Aleph. Tav Samach Beis is what fruit juices are you allowed to do. At the end of the day, we don't do any fruit juices. None of them. We're nervous. Officially, fruit juices are not like water, and it will not become make your chametz. But we're nervous. Therefore, we don't add any fruit juices. also, that Tav Samach Gimel discusses different types of cutting the wheat and adding oils and things like that, which we're not going to get into. Tav Samach Dal talks about mustards. We Ashkenazim at least hold mustard is kineas, and therefore not allowed to get involved with the mustard. Tav Samach Hei discusses animal types of foods, which we're not going to get into, but certain things that are nervous that you may have chametz in them. Tav Samach Vav discusses whether spit or urine will help turn dough into chametz. We hope that that is not happening in the matzah factories. And in Tav Samach Zayin discusses what happens if different wheat falls in. So if any raw wheat will fall into the batter, they will take it out immediately and they may throw out that batter. Because they have to be very careful that no raw wheat is going in, because it could cause chametz. And anytime that there's a mixture of chametz, they'll take it out. And one last thing, if you notice in the matzahs, any matzah that's folded over in the factory, they rip off that folded over part, which is why you're going to have a lot of broken matzahs. It may have come broken, but it may have been intentionally broken because, it may have broken by itself. Or it may have intentionally been broken to make sure that there's no doubled over matzah. Because if there's doubled over matzah, we're nervous that there's chametz in there. Anyway, that's why they break that off. Okay, that takes us up to Tav Samach Ches. We'll start Tav Samach Ches tomorrow, Mezat Hashem, which will be starting more of the practical halachas of Tainis Bechar, Malacha Er Pesach, and the Seder soon. So that's a wrap on the matzah factory and what you're eating, what you're paying for. Fish food is chametz if it has chametz in there. Now, you have to find out. If it's kidneyous, it's no problem. But if it's a grain, then it is a problem. Now, I want to start answering the riddles from yesterday. So we asked yesterday one riddle, which is why in Kiddush do we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim? Holy matzah is not chametz. Anyway, you have to make sure they grind it out very well and it's not chametz. Anyway, like this. The riddle we asked yesterday was, by Kiddush, we say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. We asked, what does Kiddush have to do with Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim have to do with Kiddush. There was no Shabbos in Mitzrayim. So there's a Taisis in Pesachim. Taisis in Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Beis, asked this question. And he brings down, there's a Medrash. It's a fascinating Medrash. It says, Lefisha b'mitzrayim avdu b'hem b'yisrael b'parach, b'farach. They made them work back-breaking work. Parach, pei, resh, chaf. That was the back-breaking work they had to do in Mitzrayim. And he says there's this gematria method called akbash gardak. It's a method, if you know it, you know. If you don't, you don't. But the gematria of parach is 39. So they made them do 39 malachas every day. None do Shabbos, but every day they had to do 39 malachas. When we got out of Mitzrayim, Hashem gave us a Shabbos. You now had to work 39 malachas every day in Mitzrayim. Now you leave Mitzrayim, I'm giving you a Shabbos. I'm giving you a day off. A day off from those 39 malachas. So that's why we say Zeches in Mitzrayim, meaning in Mitzrayim you had to do the back-breaking 39 malachas every day. Now it's Shabbos, I'm giving you a day off from those 39 malachas that you had to do in Mitzrayim. That is the Medrash that Taisus brings. So have that in mind when you make Kiddush. The second question we asked yesterday was, why is it by mezuzah we make slanted? We said mezuzah is Zeches in Mitzrayim, which we spoke about earlier. But why is it that a mezuzah is slanted, whereas our tefillin parshas are upright and the Sefer Torah is upright? It's the same machlokes Rishonim. Rashi holds all three have to be upright. Rabbeinu Tam holds all three have to be laying down. So why by mezuzah do we do a compromise and no compromise by tefillin or by Sefer Torah? So the answer is the two parts. First of all, the Rishonim say that Rabbeinu Tam holds that it's only ma'akev by mezuzah. He held that if it is laying down, you're yotzei, and if it's upright, you're not yotzei. He only held that by mezuzah. He held by Sefer Torah and by tefillin, it's lechachila. It's ideal, but it's not ma'akev. So therefore, when do we try to make the compromise? Only when he held is ma'akev. But that just leads into the next question, was what's the difference? If he holds that it's kavod to be laying down, right? That's what he holds. He holds the mezuzah, tefillin, Torah should be laying down. That's kavod. So why did he hold that it's ma'akev by mezuzah and not anywhere else? So for this, I think the answer is only by mezuzah do you actually see it. In the Sefer Torah in Aron HaKodesh, it's covered up the whole time. In tefillin, you also will never know because tefillin has to be rounded, squared. So you'll never know if the parshas are upright or laying down because the box will always be a square. So I believe over there, whether it's laying down or upright, the cover is the same because you'll never see them. Only by mezuzah are you actually seeing it. So by mezuzah, since you're seeing it, that's we have the machlokas, if you're yotzei or not. Rashi holds is only covered if it's upright. Rabbeinu Tam holds is only covered if it's laying down. And since you're seeing it, we're more makvid, and that's why it has to be, we make the compromise. Okay, that was yesterday. Today's riddle is like this. Why is it that we have Chol HaMoed only by Sukkot and by Pesach and not by Shavuos? Right? By Sukkot, we have first day Yantiv, last day Yantiv in the middle of Chol HaMoed. By Pesach, we have first day Yantiv, last day Yantiv in the middle of Chol HaMoed. Shavuos, we don't. What's the pshat? Why is it that Chol HaMoed is only by these two and not by Shavuos? Okay, something to think about. We'll answer that tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Second question, more alum to Shashayel is like this. We say that we have dalid, we have four cups of wine. Now, why do we have four cups of wine? Rashi says, Rishayim say, because there were four languages for the shyness of Gula. Four languages of Gula, and that's why we have four cups of wine. The Mordechai, a Rishon, asks, that's very cute, but why four cups of wine? We should have four matzahs. We should have four matzahs. I mean, the poor man's bread, the redemption was with the matzah, wasn't with the wine. As we were leaving Mitzrayim, we weren't drinking wine. If Hashem was redeeming us, we weren't drinking wine. We're eating matzah. So why is it, because there are four languages of Geula, we have four cups of wine, the Mordechai asked that it would be more appropriate to have four matzahs according to those four languages of Geula. Okay, it's an interesting Shiloh, think about it. We'll get back to that tomorrow. And as far as the Pshat and the Haggadah, I'll ask you a question today. Rabbi Klein called me up with a very good question. So I'll address that question. He asked, why is it that the B'nai Yisrael had to put blood on the doorposts? Hashem brought 9 makos, and none of them affected the Jews. The Jews did not have blood, frogs, animals, pestilence, da, 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 da. They didn't have any of them. Even though we didn't put blood on our doorposts, or we didn't have to put any signs out, Hashem knew where the Jews were and where the Mitzrim were, and we were good. So why is it by Makas Becheiris that Hashem had to go ahead and make us put the blood on our doorposts? That's what he asked me. I want to add on to that question. If you look in the Haggadah, Haggadah says that Hashem did Makas Becheiris, Hashem and no Malach. Hashem all by himself. No angels, no nothing. But if you look in the Pasuk says not like that. The Pasuk in Parshas Bo says that Hashem didn't let the Mashchis destroy the Jews. But there was a Mashchis. There was this other angel, the angel of destruction that was going around. So it seems to be that Rishonim asked this question. Very good, Josh. It's the Bible now. It seems to be that there is the Rishonim, all Rishonim that I know that asked this question. What's going on? Was it a Malach or was it Hashem? The Haggadah says Hashem, and the Pasuk says there was a Malach involved. So there are many answers. I'll give an honor of Josh, the Barbanel's answer, which is fascinating. He wants to say that Hamashchis was not an angel of destruction, but it was Corona. It was some germ. He doesn't use the word Corona. He says it was something in the air, which Hashem had enter into every Bechor's body. So he says like this. Of course, it was Hashem. It was not a Malach. And when the Torah says the word Mashchis, it's referring to this damaging, destroying bug. It has something in the air that went in their noses and their mouths, and that's what killed all the Bechor. And he explains, so why do we need the blood in the doorpost? Rabbi Klein's question. He says it wasn't for the Malach to discern or for Hashem to discern who was Jewish or not. It was that we need this extra schus of the mitzvah of Karim Pesach. We needed this extra schus of the mitzvah, Karim Pesach, in order to be zochet, to be saved from this germ. In order that Hashem should only kill us, he had to kill them, and not that. It's not the agent, that this was Hashem. The way Hashem killed them wasn't through a malach, some other being. The way Hashem killed them was through this germ, whatever that was. And that's what, when the Haggadah says, ani v'lo malach, it meant Hashem. How did Hashem kill us? Through this. The blood on the doorpost was just for us to be zeicha. We had to do a mitzvah. We were on a low level. We need to get improved. We need to get a higher level. We got a higher level through the Karim Pesach, which we put on as a simen. We did this mitzvah. This is how the Bar Benel learns. Others want to learn, I'll tell you the Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi learns different. The Beis Halevi says, every night people die. It was normal. You had a heart attack. You had a stroke. Yeah, whatever other failures you could have, what the pasuk means is Hashem didn't let the regular Malach HaMavos kill anybody. You put the blood on the doorpost, so when you're Jewish, the Malach HaMavos went away. Hashem didn't want any Jew to die that night. He wanted only the Egyptian Bechor to die that night. So Hashem alone did Makas Becheiris, alone. As far as the regular death that happened natural causes, that was stopped. That Hashem didn't let the Mashkas do it. And that's what that's why we put the down on the doorpost to tell the Malach HaMavos, stay away from me tonight. And don't have any regular deaths tonight. This shot was said by the Beis HaLevi. So the first shot was the Bar Benel. The second shot was the Beis HaLevi. I wish you all a wonderful night. Tomorrow, Mitzvah, same time, 10:30 Israel, 3:30, 2:30 Minnesota. Have a wonderful night. Goodbye.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Bye. I'm available for questions on the phone, but I'm hanging up. I need a drink. Okay, anyone call my phone? Bye.
Bye.